So last week, I felt myself drawn to God through quiet spaces. I even got a rust-colored tray from my home and created a portable prayer space. I tried to take prayer with me throughout my home and all the mundane tasks that I accomplished there. I set my tray by my stovetop while I cooked, by my desk as I answered emails, and on my bedside table as I prayed before sleep. In the midst of a busy season, I was trying really hard to slow down. I didn't want the headline news, my own internal monologue, and my to-do list to be the fuel in my fire. Then I began to prepare to preach on Saturday and today, and I read the gospel text from Matthew. Seriously? This is like the worst gospel for people who are trying to slow down. There is nothing slow or disengaged from the public discourse about this week's gospel. Jesus is in the thick of it as the Pharisees literally try to trap him in a political debate. While it would appear that Jesus is talking about what we are supposed to do with money, I wonder if it is less about money and more about how we engage with the world and the powers around us. Today's gospel makes it clear that even in our hopes for a calmer internal presence, we do not get to disengage from the reality of the world we live in. The Pharisees ask Jesus to make a choice, emperor or God. Jesus turns their question after asking to see the image on the coin for the tax. Jesus says, "Give to the emperor what is the emperor's. Give to God what is God's." Jesus says this knowing that all we have is God's, because all things have been given to us by God. He proclaims that we give toward the image we were made in. Give to the emperor the tax that was created in his image, and give to God that which is made in God's image. We know our value based on the image we bear. We know our character based on our obedience to that image. And as Christians, we bear the image of God, and we are called to obedience based on the values of the kingdom of God. We are also called to see that same image of God in every person that we meet. I'm reminded today that because of the image we bear, we have to find the balance between finding quiet spaces and slowing down, and also speaking to power the love, truth, and justice of the kingdom of God. All of our participation in the public discourse must be born out of the image of God, the image we are made in. The question then is, how do we do this in our day-to-day lives? How do we live into the image we bear? When it comes to our public discourse, I tend to find more hatred than love. Sure, I can find words of kindness between people who know one another or between people who have labeled each other as being safe. But it is hard for me to find loving words between strangers. I sometimes wonder where our sense of common humanity has gone. I know I'm not really offering a lot of loving words to strangers, so I know I'm a part of this. And maybe first I have to ask myself, how did we get here? Many of you know that I'm a huge fan of Brené Brown, and she has a new book out, so you're going to hear about it. In her recent book, she talks about what she calls dehumanization. She writes, "Dehumanizing others is the process by which we become accepting of violations against human nature, the human spirit, and for many of us, violations against the central tenets of our faith." How does this happen? Most of us believe that people's basic human rights should not be violated. Successful dehumanizing, however, creates moral exclusion. Groups targeted based on their identity are depicted as less than, or criminal, or even evil. The targeted group eventually falls out of the scope of who is naturally protected by our moral code. She goes on to list the many ways in a variety of historical genocides that those committing acts of violence use language to dehumanize the people they were attacking. For instance, she remembers how Nazis described Jews as rats in everything from military pamphlets to children's books. They were not considered humans. They were subhuman. Then she writes this. I know it's hard to believe that we ourselves could ever get to a place where we would exclude people from equal moral treatment and from our basic moral values. But we are fighting biology. We are hardwired to believe what we see and to attach meaning to the words we hear. The point is that we are all vulnerable to the slow and insidious practice of dehumanizing. Therefore, we are all responsible for recognizing it and stopping it. We must never tolerate dehumanization, the primary instrument of violence that has been used in every genocide recorded throughout history. And I feel like my life's job is to try to figure out how to be a Christian while also being a profoundly broken human. And I continue to come back to my belief that the kingdom of God is made manifest to us in small, humanizing acts that come out of great prayers. Thank you notes that we write when we know the gift giver does not expect it. The message of encouragement for something that isn't a big deal. Asking someone their name when you're talking to a stranger. Listening to hear instead of listening to respond. Helping someone see their value and beauty when they cannot see it in a mirror. Recognizing beauty that does not look like your own. Spontaneously giving someone something that they need but did not ask for. Thoughtfully and respectfully speaking to someone when you disagree with them. Choosing to give someone your time when you're almost positive you have none to spare. Thinking carefully about the things you buy before you buy them. Saying I'm sorry first when you're in a heated conflict. Accepting an honest apology, even if you're still a little bit hurt. Choosing not to judge someone, regardless of their circumstances. Believing in a flash of anger that others are actually doing the best they can. And being vulnerable enough to share your story if you think it might help someone else who is held captive by their own. These are seemingly small acts. They are also the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, and they require just as much of our character and just as much of our obedience as any great act. They are not disengaged because they require us to actually interact with other people. They require us to face our common humanity, the pain of sin, and the power of grace. These are acts that require us to humanize a variety of people. You cannot do these things with truth in your heart and also dehumanize the person in front of you. These small acts are how we begin to see each other as made in the image of God, both friend and stranger. And we are unquestionably called as Christians to do everything we can to recognize and prevent dehumanization because we believe that all people are created in the image of God. I do not mean to say that great acts are unimportant. We are not released from the calling to feed the hungry and to give comfort to the oppressed and to then go one step further and do everything we can to prevent hunger and prevent oppression. No, we are still called to address these great sins with our whole lives. But I believe we are enabled to do the great things when we are first skilled at doing small things. These seemingly small acts of humanizing the people we meet. These small acts create within us a great capacity for love. And when we have love stored inside of us, then we have love that we will give. This is how we go through the long process of giving toward the image of God, the image we were made in. I believe this is how we slow down, dedicate ourselves to a prayerful life, and also speak to power the love, truth, and justice of the kingdom of God. Friends, our calling in this world is to be ever mindful of the image we were made in and to give to God what is God's. We do this by living intentionally, focused on small acts that are given out of great love and prayer. Jesus reminds us that we do not owe our lives to any worldly power, because we were not made in the image of a worldly power. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, through the waters of baptism, through even our first creation, we are marked with the image of God, and so we claim our identity within the kingdom of God. However, we must remember that this identity requires us to take all of our participation in this world and put it underneath the image of God. We give to the emperor what is the emperor's, and we do so knowing that we give our whole lives to God, because all of life has been given to us by God. And we give to neighbors and strangers what is for neighbors and strangers, small acts born out of great love. We give to them what we hope for ourselves, because we each bear the image of God. Amen.